I used to get straight A's until my dad started drinking. Welcome to episode 46 of Uncore Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jeff.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you today. One thing that's happened since last time we talked, Gamescom. A lot of Gamescom happened. And I believe we did touch on the Microsoft conference last time.
Yeah.
But a lot of other interesting things happened in Gamescom.
I've been working like 13-hour days. At least, like, 10-hour, minimum 10-hour days.
We're going into this, are we?
Okay, I'm just trying to give an explanation of why I haven't watched any Gamescom. Listen. I've been working minimum like 10-hour days, and I get home, and I'm tired. I'm so tired. Yesterday, I put in a 13-hour day, dude. You know what a 13-hour day means? It means 1 hour of double time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, guess what? My boss today, she's like, hey, what time did you leave yesterday? I was like, 9:30.
She was like,
yeah. I got off at 9:30 p.m.
Wow. Yeah.
And my boss is like, that's over 12 hours. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you can't work more than 12 hours. And I was like, well, that's how long it took me to finish my job. So, you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, this what I need to do needs to happen. Like, for the next day. It needs to happen.
Yeah.
So I can't, like, just not do it. And then, because the morning shift, when they come in, they're not going to have anything to make.
To cook.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So,
and they don't want to hire another person, even though you've been consistently.
Dude, I do, like, a lot. I do a lot by myself. And they talk to me about overtime, and it's just, they don't seem to understand. But anyway, yeah, so she's like, you know, you can't work more than 12 hours. I'm like, she's like, did you take a second lunch? And I was like, no, I didn't take a second lunch. You don't have to take a second lunch. And he's like, and she was like, no, you have to take a second lunch. And I was like, I don't think the law says you have to take a second lunch, but I'm not sure on that. But I tried to sell it. And I was like, and I told her, that might be the company's rule, but that's not the law. And she was like, no, it is the law. And I was like, you know what? I used to work more than 13-hour days when I worked in San Jose. And that's in California as well. And they didn't make us take a second lunch. Bam. You know what I'm saying?
Bam.
Bam.
Arguing with your employer.
Yeah.
Technically.
And she was pretty sure that it was the law. And I was pretty not sure if it was or wasn't. But I tried to bluff it. And so anyway, she's like, well, we're going to have to discount the second lunch for me. I was like, no, you're not. That's the hours that I worked. You can't just take away my money.
Yeah, they can't do that. Yeah. That is against the law.
And she was like, no, we're going to have to. And I was like, okay, well, you can try. But, you know, like, and it's like, come on. You can't take away money from hours that I worked. Okay. No matter how much you don't want to pay me the double time.
Yeah.
But
how long have you been on unemployment?
They're going to talk to me tomorrow. They say they're having a big meeting. And they said I was the only employee involved.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to go talk to Dan.
Yeah. They're going to be like, cool, you're going to hire somebody else so I don't have to be here.
Who do I train?
12 hours.
Am I training that guy? That guy? Right there? Yeah, that guy's not going to work out. Because then he's calling me back. But, so, yeah, that happened. Whatever. Wow. I'm not tripping off it. I mean, they keep giving me stuff to do, so, like, it's going to take longer to do the stuff that I need to do when I do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And these are, it's
you're picking up what I'm dropping here, Dan?
Same thing you're doing every day, and they want you to get it done every day.
I mean, my main priority is to prep everything for the next morning. And I can do that. That's fine. It won't take me 8 hours to do that. But they add on to it. And
right.
They add on to that. And they add on to that. So it just keeps going. Like, yeah. Today wasn't too bad.
You know why they don't want to hire people?
Why?
So they don't have to do the whole government health insurance thing, probably.
No, they have to. Well, they don't have to, but they get discounts. They get charged for it, too.
Well, only if they have a company over a certain, like,
oh, really? Size. Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you're under a certain size, you don't have to worry about it. As far as my understanding is, like, small businesses get, like, special recognition.
Yeah, because they don't make too much money and blah, blah, blah. Certain prices or income or whatever. I guess has a lot to do with it. Oh, just kind of, just like individuals, I guess. You know, income does have a lot to do with whether you have to get it or not. or pay for it at the end of the year at least. But I got a bunch of stock options the other day as well.
From the company?
Yeah. So I basically got 30 of them. It's imaginary money at the, you know, right now. But if the company makes it, I got 30 shares, bro.
They gave it to you or you bought these?
No, they gave it to me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They gave everybody some. And depending on your job and what you do and how much you do for the company, there's different tiers. So you'll get, you basically get, the people with the higher tier will get them for less money. You know, this is all imaginary, right? All right. The money is imaginary. So, you know, like I bought mine, you know, for like $30, right? Or $25, I think. But people in the higher tier than me, they bought their 30 for $12. You know, so they're getting a better deal out of it if the company makes it.
Right.
So, and I mean, there's tons of investors in that company too. So they're, you know, they're, as long as that company goes public, dude, I'll be set for like 6 months, bro. But every year, I guess they give out 30 to every employee.
Okay.
Yeah. And, but if you do cash out, like if the company makes it and you do cash out, all those ones you got for free, you'll only get the difference between what they're worth at the time and what you know.
Bought them for?
Yeah. Cause, you know, that was their money. So they're basically giving it to you. So that you'll only get the difference between those. So hopefully these shares will be worth $100 and I'll get like, you know, 75 per share.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, it's free money.
I mean, it's your bonus for when you leave the company,
I guess. Free money. No, because you lose them. So if the company doesn't go public, you'll lose the stock options.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's more of an incentive for people to stay there.
Yeah.
And also, it's a good incentive for, for everybody, really. And even the owner, he... If he gets to a certain amount of a price for the shares, like he'll get a huge bonus himself. I don't know how it works, but that's what he said. He's striving to make the shares worth $150. This imaginary share. So I don't really exactly know how it works.
Yeah.
But whatever.
In their office trading, isn't that illegal?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
But anyway,
so that's why I haven't been watching any Gamescom.
Thank you for coming on to JobsCast, the podcast where we talk about jobs.
It was a good explanation of why I've been haven't been keeping up.
Haven't been keeping up with the Gamescom news.
Yes, all I know is I saw some Vega gameplay from Gamescom. Right, it was from Gamescom.
Cammy versus Vega. Right?
Yeah, and there was also
Vega versus
Nicali.
Nicali.
Yeah. And I gotta say,
Nicali looks like a beast.
Yeah, he is a beast. Yeah. He is a beast. I gotta say, the new thing that he did with Vega, where he can take off his claw and put it back on, and it changes his mode, the way he attacks.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you can apparently, like, you can see the claw on the side, like, he puts a claw on the side, and he becomes more, the claw, he becomes more of an aggressive character.
Right.
And with the claw, he's more about, you know, just distance, keeping enemies away, basically.
Yeah, with the claw, he, like... breaks any attempt Cammy has trying to get in.
He's really good, yeah. It's like, I think Vega's really good in this game so far.
Vega's like, whatever that slash attack was, just so much faster than Cammy's moves.
He's got little diagonal slashes too. Yeah. It gets crazy, man.
But, it ain't no Birdie.
No, it ain't no Birdie at all.
Yeah.
Birdie does like 80% combos with V-trigger.
Dude, Birdie does like 20% like slaps.
It's insane. The damage output this guy has is insane.
You know that's got nerfed.
No, it has to be. Yeah. There's no way someone can do an 80% combo on you, dude.
Yeah. Because I don't want to be watching no competition at Evo or whatever. And
like two combos and you're done?
No, all I see is just...
I mean, there is Seth.
There's like eight birdies and like...
Same characters. Seth, though, has like... I mean, Seth in Street Fighter 4 has really low life and... There's combos that'll... I mean, but you need meter to do, like, to take away a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And I feel like Birdie doesn't really use up... I don't know. No, he uses up his meter, too. But he does it on characters with, like, you know, has a pretty good amount of life. You know, but Seth, you know, they, people can do like 100% combos on him with enough meter and depending on the character. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyway.
This might be somebody interested in, Edmund McMillan is, possibly making a new game.
Really?
Yep. I mean, they're currently working on a port of Meat Boy to phones and something called, Mugisite, I think, something like some cat sim game, something like that, where you, like, own cats.
So he's doing phone games now?
Well, that's what he's doing right now, but they are looking at the possibility of making a new game,
and I went to the mall to try to see if I could find that guy, and I didn't see him there.
Oh, did you go to Legends?
Yeah. They moved Legends.
Yeah, no. It's a much better
location. It's much better. Yeah, it's bigger. It's a lot bigger.
Yeah. And but, they what they did with the space in that place is just amazing. I mean, it really laid it out really well. But did you go on Friday?
Saturday?
Try Friday if you can, because that's like a big Magic the Gathering night.
Or a lot of yeah, there stores. Weren't too many people. There was a couple people playing, but it wasn't
really popping. That's probably a better chance to see him would be on Friday. But yeah, so they're talking about coming out with a new game. And apparently, it's a game. It's a sequel to one of their previous games, and they said they weren't going to make another sequel because I guess at the time they're like, you know, this game's perfect. We can't really reiterate on this except for just basically be cashing in on it. So
they're cashing in on it.
So now apparently while working on the phone game, stuff like that, they were like working out some new mechanics kind of to, I guess, help it translate to the phone. They're like, actually, this could probably just be a new game. There's a lot of new stuff here. We could actually probably make a pretty good sequel.
What about Afterbirth? Are they still working on that?
I don't know, maybe.
Or is that done and just waiting to get released?
Maybe. Anyway, so yeah, Super Meat Boy 2. That might happen. Have you even played the first? Have you played Super Meat Boy?
No. I've only seen gameplay of it on Twitch.
It's fun. It's not bad. It's the mechanics.
It does feel difficult.
The mechanics are pretty solid.
It feels like it's a difficult game.
I don't think it's a... I mean, it's difficult, but you probably wouldn't find it as difficult as you think by looking at it. Because, mm-hmm. like, I sat down with it, and I almost beat, like, the first boss level on my first try. And I got to, like, the end of the game, and I just died, like, at the very end of it.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's a platformer, and like, but see, that's the thing, the platform.
But there's like tight squeezes everywhere, right?
Kind of, yeah, but the platforming is very solid. You know, you jump where you think you're gonna jump, everywhere you think you should be landing and jumping is where you're landing and jumping. It's not like other games where like, it's really floaty, or it's really like, weird and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it's, from the little I played of it, it's pretty spot on.
Like a Mario? Like a Mario...
See, even I'd say Mario is more slippery than Meat Boy is.
Mario 3?
Maybe Mario 3. But faster. More responsive to
your commands. Yeah, it seems a lot faster, yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I think you'll like
it. I'll try it up. What do you have it for?
Actually, my friend Charlie. You guys remember Charlie? Right?
Yeah.
First two episodes. He had it. He brought it over. We tried it out.
Well, he has everything.
I remember reading an article like a long time ago that when it finally releases on the PlayStation 4... It's going to be free. Straight up. For PlayStation Plus members.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. That's cool. Not really the Gamescom, really. something else quite not related to the Gamescom, I suppose. I want to say my Gamescom news, because that's like the big bombs of the week. But anyway, Destiny. Peter Dinklage, the Dinklebot.
Was it not news before?
I don't think we talked about it before.
Was it just us talking about it then?
It might have been just us talking about it. If you've heard us say this, then I'm sorry. But, yeah. Dinklebot's gone. They're taking out all his lines that he read and replacing them by famous Nathan Drake actor Nolan North. He's going to be rereading all the lines and reading the new lines, so the ghost will finally speak again. In The Taken King. That almost makes me want to buy it right there.
What about,
just so I can hear the ghost say something new.
What about Crota's DLC? Ghost. I mean, the ghost didn't talk at all during the Crota DLC. So do you know if they're going to add lines to that? Because it seems so stupid for the ghost not to talk at all during this whole section of the game.
I don't know. I did read that, at least for The Taken King stuff, there's going to be a lot more ghost dialogue where he'll you'll actually get a lot of the lore.
Yeah, I read he was going to be more active during in the game, the ghost.
Yeah. And I guess, like, they were talking to people like Nathan Fillion, and who's one of the who voices one of the Hunter Vanguard.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who runs the shop for the Vanguard for Hunters. That's Nathan Fillion, Firefly. I guess they're trying to get him back in to record more lines, so I guess that character's probably going to have more of a part to play. And Eris, the chick that Eris, it's going to be, they're trying to get her back in and do more lines and stuff like that. So it sounds like there's actually going to be some kind of heavy story. They're finally listening. Yeah.
I mean, the reason they changed the voice actor is because they felt like North was more available.
Yeah.
Because this is his job. This is what he does. He does video game stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they put it, they said, we call up Nolan North, and he said, hey, can you be here next week? He says, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's totally down. And that's awesome, you know what I mean? And it's, I don't know if, how I feel about the voice getting changed, like the whole game getting changed, because it's going to be, I don't know, it's just going to sound weird, I guess. You get so used to it. But
do we though? I mean, it's been
you
like,
do you get used to the ghost having that voice,
right? But I mean, as people who play through everything in the game, that last like it was like 4 months of playing the game, stuff like that. I never heard the ghost.
I mean, I guess you'll get used to the other voice anyway.
Yeah, he says no, North. Told you good. They'll put some weird like reverberator on him or something like that. Make it sound more robot-y.
More ghosty.
Ghosty!
So, I mean, it's a good move. I mean, it makes sense to have someone that's available to do it at all times.
Yeah.
You know, guy and he's down, whatever.
Exactly. Apparently, they're also changing the level progression. Not your character level.
Yeah, but, like, I don't how you understand. Go through the game. I don't understand how this is going to work.
So, missions are going to unlock. And in a matter of speaking, so that it makes more sense for you to be going as far as like difficulty curve and stuff like that. That's the way it sounds like they're doing that. So they're practically changing. So people that are just buying this game when Taken King comes out and stuff like that, that actually my PS4 downloaded an update, so it might already start taking place, are going to have like such a different experience starting out the game.
The old weapons are also going to be obsolete. They're making it so people are going to have to get new weapons if they want to upgrade their damage. You're not going to be able to upgrade any old weapons. And I'm not sure if that... I mean, as far as I understood it, it was all weapons. And I'm assuming that includes the exotics. So, I know a lot of people aren't happy with that as well, because you got your Galahorns, right?
Yep.
Huh? You got your Galahorn, and you have your Galahorn.
Right. You know what I mean? Else do you need?
Yeah. So, people want to be able to upgrade your Galahorn or your Galahorn, you know, for the new one. You know what I mean? Because it's the best weapon in the damn game. And now, if, you know, they're not going to be able to use this because of the damage reduction, you know, in the new stuff, then it makes sense for people to be pissed off. I mean, they should be making something more.
I think Destiny, by doing this, is kind of making a good move. Because of, you know, because people have
everybody using the same damn weapons, man.
They created a weapon in the first release of exotics that was so good, no matter how hard they tried to come out with an exotic that people would like better, they couldn't do it without like just breaking the game, I guess. So by finally letting the Galahorn become obsolete in power and forcing people to like get newer weapons, and maybe we'll see more variety. That's how it should be.
And I also read that they're going to get a little more creative with the perks for the new weapons. So they're going to be a bunch of like different type of perks.
I mean, that's cool. I mean, yeah, they said they were going to be like making or focusing more on like type of armor sets, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I want. You know, like, MMO games, end game is cool because you get those armor sets to look dope. Because they all work together and they look insane and sick and ridiculous. Right? Like the Crota stuff. Like, you get all the Crota pieces, like, for a wizard, you look like a one of their, you know, for...
You look like a witch.
Yeah, you look like a witch.
For a warlock.
For a warlock, there we go. You look like a... Actually, they're high wizards, aren't they? They're not witches.
They're... That's the same thing. Yeah. I don't know, I'm not even...
Yeah, they're wizards. But you end up looking like a wizard, and that's cool. You know, Titans end up looking like a knight. In the first one, the Titan looks like one of the Zealots from, why can't I think? It's been so long, I can't even think of it. A Vex. One of the Vex Hobgoblins?
Hobgoblins, yeah.
No, not Hobgoblins, those are snipers.
Yeah. Not those ones?
Titans look more like a goblin.
Oh, the regular goblins.
Yeah, regular goblins. The one and that's cool. Right? You want, in a game like that, an MMO.
Isn't there sets that missing a piece?
What are you talking about?
Like, isn't there, can you get all Vex stuff?
Yeah.
I can't even remember. It's been so long.
You can get all Vex stuff, you can get all Crota stuff.
Okay.
I mean, typically you're not gonna wear all Vex or all Crota because you want that exotic.
Yeah. Because there's always an exotic that's better than the raid gear.
Yeah.
But I like, I mean, sometimes I've worn my raid gear, like, everything that's from the raid, just... Because I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, I've worn it around, you know. I'll switch it out in the middle of, like, the thick of it, but I'll wear it around because it looks cool. And that's what an armor should be. You should be wanting to have that. Like, in Warcraft, you know, once you get to, like, levels, or back when I used to play Warcraft, once you got to level 60, All there was to do was to try to beat the raids, and then just do it over and over and over again until you made your guy pimped out with his raid armor, and that was the only thing you wore, ever, again. But it was a complete set. It was the best thing you could get. It was a complete set, though. And that's the beauty of it. You looked badass. You didn't look like everybody else that had Saint 14 helmet. No, because you didn't need the Saint 14 helmet. You had this awesome set. Everybody's like, oh, this guy's done Crota. This guy knows what he's doing. This guy didn't stop at Xur on a weekend and get himself some cool piece of gear. No. This guy had to work for that. Destiny didn't have that, though, because exotics trumped everything you could get.
So would you like, you want raid gear to be the better gear?
I want...
Instead of exotic gear.
Alright, I think this is what I want. I think this would make this work. I want armor that have set bonuses. So like Diablo has this. So if you wear one piece of armor, there's like still like what, 4 slots of armor in Destiny. So you have a piece of armor, cool, you know, it's a nice piece of armor. You have 2, it activates its ability. So you know, for Destiny, for perks that we have now, like, your grenades, 2 pieces of armor, your grenades load a little bit faster. 3 pieces of this armor, you get an extra grenade. 4 pieces of the armor, your grenades become Nova Bombs. So, like, it rewards you for using the entire
grenade
set.
Grenade is a Nova Bomb. That'd be pretty OP.
What's the,
No, that's fine. Yeah, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, it's a little crazy.
It's a little crazy. But it rewards you for using all the weapons. Then kind of like you get to see like, oh, I want to get like the whole set because that's
because I want these perks. Yeah.
Yeah, these perks are crazy, and I think that's a good way of doing it. Because I'm like, oh yeah, I can use exotic, and maybe exotics are still good, but maybe they're more like for like a specific situation. Like they should be for a specific situation, but in the general aspect of things, you want your raid gear to be your top gear.
I think exotics do work like that though currently. Because, such as Crota, right? I have gear that makes my solar grenades, which one is it? I think it's a solar grenade. The one that it just kind of pops out a little fireball.
Yeah.
Right? And it stays there, right? So I have gear that makes that last longer. So, as I'm going through the first part of Crota, I can throw one of those grenades at a pillar, and the enemies won't come near you. They won't come near that. They know they'll die. Yeah. So they just stand around it, right? So having this piece of armor and making it last longer, I can stay at the pillar longer and to take away all the weight of darkness. And so it's a good perk for that part. You know what I mean? But overall, that perk doesn't really work well in other places, because if you shoot that grenade in a place that's kind of an open spot, enemies will walk away from it. I mean, they'll get hit eventually, you know, at first with the initial explosion.
Yeah.
But they'll get away from that. They won't go through it anymore. You know what I mean? So it's kind of worthless in that sense.
Yeah, but when you're not using that exotic,
then you would change. But that's what I'm saying. I would only use that armor in that situation during the thralls in the beginning part of Crota. Right. Then I would change my armor, because I don't need that armor.
What would you change your armor to?
For the second part, probably the same stuff I wear all the damn time.
Which includes?
I got my. Well, it depends.
Does it include an exotic armor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're not really changing out. You're not using the exotic
armor. Well, no, I wouldn't you're keep just... the raid stuff. There's no way I would keep the raid stuff on. Like, all raid stuff on.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
That's what I'm saying. You should want to do that, though. See what I'm saying?
It's still situational.
That's why I think the set bonuses gives you a reason.
Does any other MMO do this that you know of?
Set bonuses? I believe there are other MMOs, but I mean, the real big one that really pops in my head is Diablo. Diablo series has that, and I mean, it's cool. It's nice. I mean, they don't necessarily have to be, like, so restrictive, but, like, I mean, besides your exotic armor, do you care what other armor you're wearing? As long as it gets you the light level, right? Pretty much?
I want... No, I see what you're saying. No. No. I want my exotic armor.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There you go, Bungie. There's a free one. Do some set bonuses. It'll make it work.
Do you think this will be the last DLC before 2 comes out?
No.
No? Do you really think they'll make another DLC?
Maybe not this big, but I think they're going to probably ride this one at least out for at least one more year before they announce a sequel, okay. A full-blown sequel. I'm actually...
Because they're already working on it, right? They've been working on it for a while.
I don't know.
Is that just a rumor? Because I did hear that they were already started making like part 2 from like almost the time that part 1 came out.
Well, the way I've been hearing things makes it sound like them working on part 2 is them working on these bigger DLCs that they're adding to the first game. So year 1 and year 2 would be your part 2, so to speak.
I see what you're saying.
Because this game costs like billions upon billions of dollars. Like, the forecast is to see keep it running for like 5 years or something like that. You know, as like the main cash cow or something like that. So I mean, I think it did well enough to get the money that they put into it. I'm more interested in the Destiny 2 because you know it's going to be PS4 and Xbox One only. So they're actually push.
You're taking the Wii out of the equation here?
You mean the NX?
Oh, yeah, the NX. That's yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm taking
the NX. NX is going to be a superpower, bro.
it'll
NVIDIA, man.
It'll do what it
NVIDIA
needs to do.
NVIDIA will push it through that limitation, man.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm probably going to get it.
Yeah, you probably will.
Yeah. I was looking at some 3DSs, dude. I really wanted to get it.
New 3DS. You want
to get the new 3DS. Yeah. Right. But maybe next year, huh? During my tax return.
No.
Why not?
Because you were using your tax return for getting a new computer, remember? Right?
Am I?
Thought so.
Yeah, I said that.
So you can stream better? And do better and be
no,
better?
No, but my streams are fine. I can stream fine. I can't stream Steam games. Or PC games, for that matter. Just it doesn't have to necessarily be a Steam game, but I can't stream PC games because my PC can't run the game and OBS and, you know, the internet at the same time.
Yeah.
It's too much strain on my CPU. So. And I have a Core 2 quad.
What if your computer runs can't run Cuphead?
2.4 gigahertz. It's pretty low nowadays.
Nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's probably the best thing your computer has.
There's been times where it runs, like, it's running, like, pretty much at 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, and it everything just kind of doesn't work.
Yep.
At that point. But, yeah. More than likely, I probably won't be buying a computer, though.
Yeah, you'd be buying your kids some new shoes.
That's a bunch of money. It's too much money for a PC, dude. I gotta think smaller.
Oh, I know. I know what you should be spending that money on. Morpheus? What?
I gotta look at... I can't just... I mean, I won't be able to buy it off the bat.
With all the positive reviews it's been getting?
I know. But...
That's what surprised me so much about this, is how positive it's been.
I've never been the person to buy something when it comes out. And it's not... a lot of times it has a lot to do with the money. But,
Not even new Nintendo systems?
No, I've never bought a Nintendo system off the bat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never, ever, ever. The only thing I did buy... No, because I sold those, so it doesn't really count. It was the Wii Fit.
No, what?
Remember when the Wii Fits were coming out and you couldn't find them anywhere?
Oh, yeah,
you couldn't find them, yeah. Well, I went to GameStop and I asked, hey, do you have any Wii Fits? It was like, yeah, we have some. Oh, cool. How many do you have? We can't tell you, but you can buy one. We still have some in stock. I was like, what? Okay. Whatever,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So I was like, all right, man, let me get three of them. He's like, no, we can't. We can only sell one per customer. Oh, that's pretty lame, dude. All right, man, I'll be back. So I got Grace to come with me. And I was like, hey, you're going to buy this. You're not going to talk to me. You're going to say you know me. You're just going to be another customer and you're going to ask for a Wii Fit. And that's it. So I go in there, and I was like, all right, man, I had to take some money out and stuff. And I already had the money with me, dude.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't matter. I just went to talk to Grace. So I bought that one, and then Grace bought the other one. And we ended up selling them on eBay for about a... One was around like a 250% profit.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, they were selling like nutty. It was like 80 bucks. I think it was 80 bucks for like the game. It came with the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pad for like 80 bucks, something like that. And I sold it for like 200 and some odd dollars, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the other one didn't go up as high.
It's awesome, but.
It is awesome.
It's awesome for you, but it's awesome for people that are legitimately trying to find this stuff when you're just.
They did. They found it on eBay.
When you're making it hard for them to find it, so you can...
I bought two, dude. I bought two.
I'm saying, not you specifically.
And there's tons of people doing that anyway.
Yeah, but people in general.
Yeah.
That's why collector's editions sell out in the first, like, 2 minutes. That's why you can't get your, like, golden Wii U's, because people do this.
I have a golden N64 controller that says N100 on it. Nintendo nice. Power 100th episode. I don't remember what I did to get that. But I did something, and I got it.
Random Suit 6.
Yeah, so I got this controller that not too many people have.
Yeah, that's nice. Mm.
It is nice, though, man.
That's what I did.
You started laughing after you said it's nice. Like, it wasn't nice.
I was laughing
like, there was
more
so much sarcasm
we
there.
About it. I was like, yeah, it's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah. All right. PlayStation's coming out with the new firmware 3.0. You might be interested in this.
W maintenance, though.
All right,
what's the new firmware? What are we getting here, Dan?
Here's what you're getting. The ability to stream to YouTube directly.
Nope, don't care.
You don't care?
Don't care.
Sounds like YouTube's really making a big push.
They're really trying, but, I mean, they're not going to overcome Twitch. It's right. Not going to happen. And the majority of the people are going to be on Twitch. I mean, Hitbox is... from my understanding, is doing well, but they're not at the numbers that Twitch is.
Interesting, though. YouTube is creating a separate channel, YouTube channel, specifically for video games. Video games only.
They're doing Twitch. Stupid YouTube. Whatever. It's not going to work out. I really don't think it's going to work out.
You think it's
especially with Google. I mean, Google's break. Did you hear about Google Plus?
What about it?
They're not going to support it anymore.
What's Google Plus again? Oh, that's
it's like
Facebook
kind of, but different.
Yeah.
So the Google Plus is dying. It's gonna die soon. The main creator of Google Plus, the guy behind it, he actually quit. From his position, and they're just not. It's going away. So, I don't know what there's. I mean, you know how they incorporated everything into Google Plus, like YouTube and all this stuff. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with Google, dude. But everything's just kind of going back to the way it used to be, I guess. Like where everything's just a separate thing, and you don't.
I think that's probably for the best. I don't know,
dude. Yeah. Because when I mean, I didn't like when I went into YouTube one time, and they're like, "Hey, yeah, you got to sign in with Google Plus."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Wait, no, no, I don't have to. I just have to sign in on YouTube." That. Right?
I mean, I did, no, I did no, like the one sign-in for everything, but I also didn't... I liked that I just had to use one sign-in.
They gave me a Google Plus when I didn't want one.
Yeah. But, I mean... What I didn't like is that... everything I did was, like, logged into this one account and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, like... I don't know. It's just... It was convenient, but not convenient at the same time, if that makes any sense.
They had. I also didn't like the fact that they asked you to log in with your actual name on YouTube. They give you. There's like, do you want to log in as, you know, Black Old Flair? Do you want to log in as Jeff?
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
I was like, why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
There's a reason I'm Black Old Flair. You know what I mean?
Like when you create the account, you have to use your real name. So then to have Black Old Flair, you have to create a sub account instead of just having it as your main account. Yeah, I did not like that. When I was making game days, I was like, how do I change the name?
Yeah. What is up with that? So stupid.
Other things are coming to it.
To the YouTube streaming?
No. Other things to the firmware update. You can now comment on what's new activity feed items. So, like, Dan got a new trophy in Binding of Isaac. You can be like, hey, cool, man.
I don't care about any of that stuff.
Stamps.
The only reason you're getting those trophies is because of me.
Just Binding of Isaac.
I'm playing your damn game.
Stamps have been added to messages, allowing for more enjoyable communication with friends, whatever that means.
Stamps? Like, you're talking about, like, emoticons?
Maybe.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like, yeah. PlayStation Plus has been added to the main menu, so you can get all the information on the, IGC Instant Game Collection and the member discounts. That's nice. Just one click, bam, PlayStation Plus
download. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal to go to the store download and click PlayStation Plus. It was two clicks.
It was not two clicks.
PlayStation Store. PlayStation Plus.
Scroll.
Oh, come on. Scroll through the giant,
like, ads and stuff like that for the games, and then show me what's on PlayStation Plus at the very end of all
that.
Why
so stupid?
I'm not stupid.
Counting the scrolls as clicks? Not clicks, bro.
Blu-ray, DVD player support for stuff.
They do have that. Don't they have that?
I mean, you know, they have support, but I guess they're broadening the scope of things and accessibility. I don't know.
I don't understand.
These are small clip notes of what it is. You can now set game startup restrictions while viewing its age information and rating icon.
Say that again? What?
You can block your kids from games because it's rated R.
Rated mature?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Games aren't rated R.
You can now create a sub-account for your kids.
Do I have
a
game that's rated mature?
You must. You must have.
Bloodborne?
I would consider...
Is Bloodborne rated mature? No.
Yeah.
Is it?
Dude, there's gallons of blood as you eviscerate your foes.
Yeah, but it's not real people.
You can block websites now from the browser.
I don't even use that browser, dude.
Your kids might, though.
No. They do not use a PlayStation 4 browser when there's a computer right next to it. There's no point. And plus, they have handheld stuff, so... Yeah.
You know...
Nope. Does anybody actually use a PlayStation 4 browser?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Dan.
Well, I watch videos on my TV through my PlayStation.
Dan, why are you doing that? If the browser sucks.
It's not that bad.
It sucks.
It's slower than using the computer, but I mean, if I'm... The computer makes the room very hot.
Your computer's insane.
Yes. When I just want to watch a simple video on a website, I can just turn on the PS4. It's quieter. It plays on my big TV. I don't have to
go... So does your computer.
I have to change the setting.
Don't you have a graphics card that has two plugs coming out of it?
Yeah.
Do you have a dual monitor setup?
Yes, I do.
Then I don't understand what to do.
I can turn on PlayStation 4. Turns on my TV. Finally does that now. I don't know what happened. Gail figured that out.
I told you what to do.
Finally works now. So it turns on my TV. Bam, there's my PlayStation 4. I just go to the website, put in the address. Bam, watching my video. Or I could turn on the computer, wait for it to boot up, turn on my monitor so I can set up the dual screen thing.
The monitor should turn on with the computer.
I actually turn off the monitor when I'm not using it. And then have to go to the TV, put it in the PC HDMI slot, go to the Switch box, the TVs only have two HDMI slots.
Oh, switch, your TV sucks, that's why.
Switch it over.
I understand everything now. I understand everything now.
The TV doesn't suck. A lot of TVs come with only two USBs.
That's,
two HDMI.
Yeah, if you buy TVs that suck.
No, like 98% of the TV market comes with two HDMI.
Mine has four, bro.
2%. You're that 2% I'm talking about.
Nah, there's no way.
Yeah, no.
There's no way it's 2%.
It's very standard to have two HDMI. You end up paying like an extra like $500.
Oh, it's probably because mine is a Sony.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah,
great.
I mean there was like a window where they started adding like four HDMI.
I know it started out like as two when they first coming out.
Yeah, and there was like.
But everybody started adding.
I did a lot of research when I was buying my TV, so I'd buy a good one. And people were complaining, like, yeah, there was, like, a year or two where TV manufacturers started putting, like, 4 HDMI on their TVs, and then they went back to 2 for some reason.
It almost seems like a lie.
But it's not, because I'd look at the TVs. I'd look at all the new TVs. I'd go to Samsung, I'd go to Sony, I'd go to Panasonic, LG. They all had 2 HDMI. If I wanted more than 2 HDMI, I'd be going from, like, buying a $1,000 TV like I did, which is a good TV. Good customer reviews to like paying like $5,000 just so I get a TV.
You should have bought the TV that I bought, man.
That has that many HDMI ports.
My TV was like $1,200. It's a Sony. It was like 55-inch screen. It has 4 HDMI. It has 3D capabilities, and it's just great. It's a great TV all around, dude. And it was cheap. You know where I bought it? Costco.
Yes, that's nice.
Yeah, Costco's good, dude.
I'm
just saying.
This TV is good. I paid less than $1,000 for this. I got it like $800 or something like that, I think. 55-inch. I mean, because I don't need all the bells and whistles. I just want to play my games.
I don't,
I like the way the colors popped on this TV and stuff like that. The saturation. It's a good TV. It's got like the nice technology and stuff that makes it look good.
There was a point where I was thinking about buying one of these gaming TVs. Where the latency is supposed to be like, basically nothing, and I was thinking to myself, does it? I mean, how much difference would I really feel? You know what I mean? Because it's less than a. I mean, I would imagine that it's less than like a 16th of a second, right? I mean, even on a TV like this,
it would probably affect you more than it would affect me, because you actually play or try to play a game competitively,
like frame perfect. Like Links and stuff?
Yeah, like Frame Per Second Street Fighter. Or like Adam 1, who plays Call of Duty competitively. It's probably a bigger deal for them, for people that do competitive gaming, than it would be for a casual gamer.
And from what I understand, like, the smaller the TV, the better that becomes.
Yeah.
So, I was like, okay, well, number one, I was thinking to myself, okay, I would have to downgrade the TV size, number one. Number two is, like, I wonder if it... I mean, people talk about it. I mean, people have talked about it online, saying that they are better. Like, your inputs are, like, instantaneous, basically. And I would assume that's really good, especially for fighting games.
Yeah.
But I wonder to myself if I would feel a difference. You know what I mean? If I would really feel a difference. So I was contemplating that. And then the price of the TVs, I can't remember. I think they were a little more expensive than a comparable regular TV, you know, the same size. You know what I mean? So, comparable.
Yeah.
Right. I said that wrong.
It's all right.
Is it
comparable? I think it's one of those you can say both ways.
Yeah. And I decided against it. I want a bigger TV. I think the size was the most important factor.
I mean, because this wasn't a gaming TV. This was your living room. This was your everything TV.
This is my movie TV, my 3D gaming TV.
Yeah.
Which I only played one video game that was 3D.
I think one of the Uncharted games might have been 3D, right?
I hope not, because I'm going to get stuck on those games if they are. Are they really 3D?
I think the third one. You might want to check on the back, see if it says 3D on
it. Oh, my God, dude. Well, I can't do that streaming, though.
Well, the audience can't catch it, or does it make the TV all fuzzy?
It looks weird.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks weird. It's not like those, the Scion and, what is it?
The red and blue?
Yeah, but yeah. It's not red and blue. It's,
yeah, I know.
I'm just trying to be super technical, but it's not working out. It looks weird. It does look like a double image, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how they do it now.
It's a double image, yeah, basically. Two images.
I mean, that's how the Google Glasses works, is that it makes your eyes split into like a double image kind of stuff like that.
I bought that TV way too early because there was better 3D technology that came out later. And not even that much later.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the thing with TVs, dude. As soon as you buy it, you want that next one. They're like phones.
The 3D now is like, it's battery less glasses now. Like, you don't need, they're not electronic anymore. It's kind of like the theater ones.
That's cool.
And that wasn't there when I bought my TV. It was all like, you know, battery powered glasses and stuff, and they're a little bulkier, a little heavier.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Hey, when I bought this TV, I knew that I already wanted another TV. Because they...
Really?
They came out with the OLED TV. And I actually got to see it in Best Buy. And I was like, jaw dropping on the floor.
But how long did you have this one for?
I hadn't even bought it.
Oh, then why would you do that?
Because it's OLED TVs are new. Which means...
How much money,
they're like, you know, something like $5K or something like that.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so I'm not doing that. Not anytime soon is that going to happen. So I was like, whatever, I'll just get this TV, I'll be happy with it, and then maybe when those get cheaper, I'll actually be able to upgrade anyway.
I went to Best Buy the other day, and I saw the main TV that they have there with the couch and all that stuff. The
4K one?
It was a curved TV, right? And it had I don't know how I feel about those still. I still don't particularly like them.
Yeah, I think you're getting phased out.
I went up to the price, the little price in the corner right there. Little tiny one right there. You can't really see it from far away. You have to get up close. $10,000 for that television.
Yeah, UH.
$10,000, dude. For a TV. There's absolutely no way I would waste $10,000 on a TV. Because that's what it is. It's a waste of money.
Yeah. I mean, it's not crazy in the TV business, because like when plasmas first came out, they cost like $10,000. So it's pretty average and stuff like that. But yeah.
They had a bunch of those. They had a bunch of curved ones too.
Yeah, I mean, in different sizes. I mean, the one you were looking at was probably like 65 inch or something like that too. UHD, 4K.
The works.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably was. I didn't look at the specs or anything. Oh, no. I had a thing where you can wave your hand at it and it can change the channels. Like, you wave your hand and it comes up the menu. Yeah. Basically, dude. Yeah. That was really cool. I guess that's why it's worth $10,000, huh?
Yeah. It's just the thing. Like, I was looking at TVs and they're like, oh, you can get a smart TV. I'm like, doesn't my PlayStation 4 already do all that stuff? Like, I don't want to spend an extra, like, $2,000 for something. I have 1,000 things in my room that already do this.
Yeah. My TV has all the capabilities, you know, listening to music, listening to watching videos. It has a bunch of free channels as well, like internet channels, like for different things, food, like cooking food, and just a bunch of programming, right? And I don't use any of it.
Yep.
Because number one, it's slower on the TV. Number two, like if you're listening to music, I don't want to listen to it on TV. I don't need my TV to be on to listen to music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can just hook up like my phone to a speaker and it works just fine. And I don't, you know, I'm not consuming all that power.
Yeah.
So it just seems pointless to me to put all this stuff on TVs. But I mean, if you don't have a PS4 or, you know, if you're not a gamer, then I guess it's a cool feature.
Yeah, smart TV is fine. Of course, you know, you could be a gamer now with PlayStation Now. With just the TV and the PlayStation 3 controller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, that's going well. It's coming to the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I don't have.
Which you don't have.
Next year.
That's what you should get.
I'm going to get Vita. A Vita and I'm going to get a new 3DS.
New 3DS, and you will not play either of them.
Yes, because I want to get the Zelda game.
Which one?
The
Just the new one?
The Paper Zelda, or not the Paper Zelda.
The Twilight Princess. No.
Whatever. No. Yeah. That new one. Whatever the hell it's called. I don't remember. Oh, no, the
Twilight.
Link to the Past Part 2.
Yeah.
I want to play that game. So, I mean, I think that game was actually under regular 3DS.
Yeah, it was.
But I don't want a regular 3DS because it's pointless to buy one now.
Yeah, it is.
For next year, I think, because we save part of our money, I mean, most of it's going to go to bills and outstanding bills.
You're going to get that one paid off, though, yeah?
One card. One card's going to get paid off completely.
Bam, that's...
Yeah, that's two cards. That would be the second card that I pay off. Nice. But I'm not going to close that account. I did close the other account because they were charging like 30%.
Wait, you're going to pay off a card, but you're also going to finish your car payments, right? One of the cars?
No. That won't be till a year after that.
Oh, okay.
So I still have a year and a half to pay off the car.
Okay. But still, I mean, like, that credit card bill.
And the car, and I don't care about the car payments. The car payments charging me less interest than the credit cards. They offered me 0% for 3 years, but the payments were too high. I couldn't afford the payments. So they told me they could do 1.9% for, I think, up to like 5 years, something like that. But I did, how much is it in 4 years? Because I want, I'd rather just pay it off quickly if I can.
Yeah.
So they gave me the price for 4 years, and it was almost $100 difference. Almost. So I took that instead. And so, I'm going to pay off in 4 years. And,
nice.
So it's not too bad. But that payment I don't care about because the interest is so low on it, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a huge amount of money, but I'm paying more interest on my credit cards as it is right now. So I'd rather pay... I mean, it makes sense to pay off the higher interest. Mm-hmm. It always makes sense to pay off the higher interest. Another credit card is going bye-bye. And I'm going to feel a lot better. My payments are going to go down because getting rid of a credit card means that's $100 minimum payment less that I have now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's an extra $100 in my pocket.
To buy yourself,
which is going to go to another credit card. I have a total of 3 outstanding credit cards right now. And I'm stupid, but yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you don't
be wary of credit cards, please.
Please, public service
announcement. Yes, seriously.
Okay, so well, first off, the Dota Championships concluded, $6 million grand prize.
Yeah,
you know how they Dota's got that so money? Huge, dude. You know how they got that money?
They robbed the bank
from the fans. That was a crowdfunded prize pool.
Are you serious?
I am not.
And people knew this?
Yeah.
They want to play this game so bad that you're just gonna... Or they want to watch this game so bad.
It had so much support that they're able to give out a $6 million prize pool.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Like this. Let this sink in.
I don't like that.
As far as sports... prize pools with the highest prize pools. Poker comes in first. Dota comes in second. Golf comes in third.
What? No.
You get more money playing Dota than you do being a professional golfer.
Yeah, well, golf sucks.
Bill Murray plays golf.
Bill Murray doesn't suck, but the sport he plays sucks.
So he makes bad choices?
Makes bad choices when it comes to sports. But... I suck at golf. I'm really bad.
I've never actually played regular golf, so I don't know how I would do. All right, but onto the big bomb that happened this week during Gamescom. So there's a Call of Duty thing that came out, Black Ops 3, and they're talking about, like, all right, here's the game modes and stuff like that. They have a new ban saving system, kind of like I believe I was told that League of Legends or Dota has a system like that, where each player goes up and they either get to save something and protect it, or they can ban something. So he goes like, oh, I want to ban this character. So now nobody can use that character for that match setup, something like that, right? Which I guess, I thought this was going to be like a weird thing, especially for like a shooter, like Call of Duty, stuff like that. How many choices can you have? Stuff like that. But I've heard from like Adam One, and I've heard people just reading people's reactions on the internet. People seem really into this idea. They seem very positive about it. So we'll see how that actually plays out, because apparently, you know, regular Call of Duty would have, like, certain things that were just banned, but apparently they're not doing this time. They're going to let the ban save system try to work it out. So we'll see how that goes, at least for the first year. But the big thing, the real big thing.
Wait, I thought that was the big thing.
That wasn't the big thing. The big thing was that, the Call of Duty World Championships, this is the biggest tournament for Call of Duty, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a $1 million prize pool. A lot of professional teams do MLG and stuff like that, but, I mean, there's been incidents in the past where somebody's like, oh, because they have rules, like you can't change teams in the middle of a league or whatever, because it's a league, basically, and stuff like that. And so a player's like, I don't want to play with these guys for the Call of Duty Championships, so, you know, bench me, kick me out of the team, whatever, because I'm not going to play with you guys anymore, because I'm going to play with this team for Call of Duty Championships. That's how big Call of Duty Championships is. That somebody's like, yeah, no, just drop me from your team, whatever. I'm gonna go work on Call of Duty Championships. I don't care about this.
I mean, you can quit, right? I mean, you can just quit a team.
I think they just bench you or something like that.
So you're still with the team.
But you wouldn't be able to add yourself to another team for MLG, right? So if you get benched or if you quit a team, you're out of that season.
Damn. Okay.
So they're like, nah, and they're like, they're fine with it, because Call of Duty World Championship will get you $1 million. If you win that, bam, $1 million split between four people, 250K. Which is bigger than the prize pool you get doing the MLG seasons.
Yeah.
And, you know, Call of Duty being the big Xbox franchise for smart competitive esports and stuff like that. So they announced today, or not today, during this week, that Call of Duty World Championships for, I believe, 2016 is all going to be on PlayStation 4 systems.
Strange.
So, yeah, and I jumped on Twitter as soon as I heard this, and I just saw...
Just to see all the comments?
See all the comments. Yeah, I pulled up Treyarch or whatever.
All the hates.
Call of Duty. And you see all the pros... formal or like Optic Gaming and stuff like that's a big name, at least American. Well, just no, a big name. They're like one of the main competitive teams. Optic Gaming, all these different individual players, competitive players, stuff like that. And they're all just like, yeah, well, we're switching to PS4s now.
Like, whatever?
Yeah. Because they want that Call of Duty Championship money. That's how powerful that Call of Duty Championship is. They're just like, alright, that's it. Switching to PS4s.
So tons of people bought PS4s now.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's very interesting. Here's the thing, though. Does it mean MLG is also going to switch to PS4s? Because if all their main guys, their big teams, their heavy hitters that people come watch this MLG for, are switching to PS4s because of Call of Duty World Championship, and that's what matters to them.
It trickles down.
Yeah, is MLG going to switch all their stuff over to PS4s, too? I'm very interested.
Well, I mean, what does Sony do? How much money would you have to pay to get exclusive... to get an exclusive console, you know, to this tournament, dude.
I don't know. I don't know if it came as part of the deal for getting all the bonuses. I mean, you would think if Sony just funded the prize pool, like, all right, we'll pay the $1 million. Which is nothing for Sony. It's nothing for Activision, really.
Yeah.
If they could probably have just done something as little as that to get it, you know, conceivably.
Just give out the prize, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Whatever. I mean,
so I'm actually kind of excited to find out what happens because of this. Is it gonna stay on PlayStation for the next tournament after that? Is Xbox gonna try to make a bid for it again to make it more Xbox focused?
There was an Evo where things were getting played on the PlayStation 3.
Because Call of Duty,
and then they got switched back to Xbox though. At one point. So it's not. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a guarantee to.
Because, I mean, competitive Call of Duty, people might not realize, competitive Call of Duty used to be on PlayStation 3, and then switched over to Xbox. So, I mean, like, switching back and forth happens, stuff like that, but it'd be interesting to see if... Because I'm kind of curious if Xbox even cares. Because they're doing...
Oh, they care.
They're doing their Halo.
You know they care.
But enough for them to split their focus, because they're focusing on Halo 5. They're doing their Halo 5 championship, which also has a $1 million prize pool.
They've been having too many issues with Halo, though.
That's true.
I mean, they canceled. Didn't they cancel the tournament?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
I remember them saying they canceled the tournament because of the... it was an online tournament. They canceled an online tournament because it was having so many issues in. So, I don't know, dude. I don't think anybody really cares as much for Halo than they do for the Call of Duty now, you know, if just comparing the two games.
All right, let's get to some Twitter stuff real quick. Murdus Jenkins followed us on Twitter. Thanks for the follow.
Leroy Jenkins!
I believe your first name is pronounced Murdus. M-Y-R-T-I-S.
What?
How would you pronounce that? M-Y-R-T-I-S.
M-Y-R-T-I-S. Murdus?
Yeah, it sounds right?
Murdus, yeah.
I would send that follow, Murdus Jenkins 41. That's her Twitter handle. Show some love on Core Gamer Community.
Thank you,
show
man.
Some love. Masago got back to us. Let us know why Lance from GTA Vice City was his main villain. Picked them because of the way he turns on Tommy, the main character. It was very unexpected.
I haven't played the game. Thanks, dude.
And had a lot of great one-liners. Alright, cool. Now, Masago actually... He pulled a little reversal on us. He asked us a question. Gave us a little something to talk about. All right. Here's his tweet. I know it's not your guys' MO, but any thought on the new Madden or FIFA? Well, Visago, I did a little homework for you. Or I should say I tried to.
I don't think we did well on our homework.
Being that me and Jeff here don't play a lot of sports games, or any sports games, really, for that matter, it's hard for us to really see what the big deal is about. So I tried watching some YouTube videos of other people's reactions so I can kind of get an understanding of somebody who does play sports, what they're looking at as, like, the big things and stuff that makes them excited for the new games. And, pretty much all I got from reactions were people were happy that, like, they put in animations that made the players look more like their real-life counterparts. Not really... I didn't see anybody excited about, like, new game mechanics or, it's all just aesthetic stuff. Like, oh, he caught the ball.
Like, with one hand.
With one hand, like the guy does in real life. That's awesome, and that's all they were talking about. So, I found it very hard to find something of substance that I could tell you why this next one's going to be the one you should get. I guess I think really what it boils down to with these games is the extra features that they have, and I'm not sure how many of those have been actually released at this point. But like I know with the football games, like career mode or like rookie mode, where you can like make your own character and have them climb the ranks. Or the draft and stuff.
Didn't
like that.
Didn't they have like a face recognition thing?
I think that's the NBA. Oh, that's the NBA one. Yeah. The drafts and being able to create like tournament leagues with your friends, specifically with your group of friends and stuff like that. So I would say wait till they start putting out more information about what modes are going to be in it. Because I know in the past I've heard people like the NHL games. Sometimes they put in some really great modes, and like the next one came out, like the last NHL game that came out, they took away a lot of the modes that people really enjoyed, and the game suffered because of it, even though the game was a good game. So just keep an eye out, see what modes are in there, see if those modes speak to you, because it seems like that's going to be one of the main buying options for those games.
As long as they're innovating the game, it should make for a better game, instead of just changing the roster, you know what I mean, to be, you know, the actual roster of, you know, this year, you know what I mean? It just, because I know there was a lot of people complaining because that's what was happening for a while, was like, it was just a new roster. But nothing was really changing, you know, in the game. So, the fact that they're adding all these new modes and, you know, they're trying now to put more stuff into it, it's great for the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it makes, you know, just make sure you're not buying the same game, because that's what I think a lot of people feel like when they play sports games, is they just feel like they're buying the same game again.
Yeah, I think most people, they buy, like, the one every 2 or 3 years. No, they don't buy the next one every year, usually. It's kind of hard, especially with E3 press conference. Like, I watch the E3 press conference and I sit through the sports stuff, even though it bores me to all. But I sit through it just in case something crazy happens. And, like, it makes me interested for some reason or another. But it's always the same, speech. Like, it's like, the way you can handle the ball now, it's revolutionary, leaps beyond anything you can do before. Every time, it's the same speech. So it means nothing to me. Because, like, one, I don't play the games, but it's like, why is it better than the last one? Because you said it's better than the last one. But that doesn't translate. You're not really giving me information as to why it's better. So it makes it really hard to be able to get excited for something, especially like an E3.
They don't get into specifics. They just say it's better, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, the NBA one, I don't know how much of that was actual gameplay that showed at E3, but that one, like, gameplay-wise, I don't know. That one, they actually did kind of go into a little some basic where you can actually hold. You can do the jump shot and hold the shoot button. So you can actually control when your character actually shoots the ball and stuff like that. That's actual basketball mechanics that they finally translated into the game. And stuff like that. That's really a big point. And also, when they were moving around the court and what they showed, which may not be actual gameplay. Let's face it, it's probably vertical slice. But at the very least, that looked very realistic, like they mocap people and like the motions look like actual how people move when they play basketball. So, I mean, I thought that one caught my attention more than any of the other sports games. It's because that one actually want to understand basketball better than most of the other sports, but and also, like, you could see what they were talking about, you know? They were more specific about what everything meant.
Touché. Yeah, nicely done.
Thank you. All right. So on to our Twitter question of the week. I posted this on Monday. Okay. Let me pull it up real quick. What game has given you a strong emotional reaction purely through its story? Now, I didn't get any hits on this on Twitter, but I did have people that listen to the show that I know in real life. Give me their answers. So, Adam won. He told me Final Fantasy IX. The end of Final Fantasy IX got to him.
Nine?
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean like he was sad or anything like that, but it's just a strong emotional... Yeah, but emotional.
It's strange. I didn't get anything from Nine. It's just so strange to me.
He didn't go into too much details because I haven't actually gone down to beating Nine. Like, you know, Final Fantasy games, I get to the last dungeon and I'm kind of like...
okay.
You know, like, it's a bit of a slog.
Not me, man. Not me.
Yeah, I lose interest when I get, the closer I get to the end of the game, usually. Except for Last of Us. That was just such a roller coaster ride of awesomeness. Let's see. Riddlemaster, let me know. Journey?
Still haven't played Journey. I really want to play it.
But... Dude, it's like a 2-hour game. You can get through it in one evening. And it is so powerful. This one I totally understand. Because I saw her play it. I actually didn't play it myself. I just mostly saw her play it.
Did you watch the whole thing? From start to finish? Or
basically, yeah. I mean, it's short enough. She played through it enough times that I've seen
pretty much. Oh, it's okay. She's done it a few times.
Well, she got all the trophies. And I was like, that's actually a pretty powerful game. There's no dialogue in that game whatsoever.
A lot of walking.
Yeah.
A lot of walking.
But it's fun. It's exciting. It looks good. And it's out on your PS4 now, so you can play it on your PS4.
Yeah, I think I have it.
Yeah, because it was a PS Plus game and it's crossback. So that's cool.
Yeah.
That was a good choice. You need some time to think about it?
No.
You got it?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Can I have a tie?
Sure, but you're going to have to explain why you have a tie. Why don't I go first? This is a tough one, because I play a lot of RPGs, and a lot of RPGs, they obviously deeper storytelling than other games would and stuff like that. All the other games, like, would have definitely contenders, like Spec Ops The Line is a pretty good contender and stuff like that. The first Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I think, would speak to a lot of people because of the controversial nuking scene, or maybe the second one, I think, with the airplane scene.
The airplane scene?
I mean, you could definitely get a strong emotional reaction from that. But I went with, based off what I could think of at the time, because I played a lot of games, and it's kind of hard to remember every single moment of a game. But I went with the ending of Crisis Core for the PSP, Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core. Obviously, it's a game that revolves around Zack. So if you play Final Fantasy VII, you know how Zack's story kind of plays out. They go over that in Final Fantasy VII. So it's not really a big surprise what happens at the end of the game, but the way they managed to portray it, and using actual gameplay mechanics, the gameplay mechanics you've been using for the whole game, it's not a cutscene, you're basically playing through this finale, basically, using the mechanics and stuff like that, and I don't want to spoil it for you, because I know you want to play that game.
Yeah.
But, cut two and stuff like that, but it's actual mechanics, and the game mechanics are constantly going, and there's a mechanic in the game that just is always happening every time you're in a fight. It always happens, and you have no real control over it. But they're using that to kind of tell the story too, and it's just so well done that it makes the whole thing like very much more powerful. And I was just blown away by it. It was really good.
Okay. I mean, I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. And you know what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
But it's the part that just, I wasn't expecting it to happen. I wasn't expecting it to happen to her, least of all, because she was the nicest person in the world. She was out there to save the world. She grew gardens. She was, you know, just a good person, a good-hearted person.
Mm-hmm.
To have her get stabbed through with the longest sword ever.
Yep.
By Sephiroth was really emotional to me. It hurt so bad to see her die like that. And this wasn't even like this was like pretty early in the game. And
it was like disc 2, wasn't it?
Was it disc 2? I think it was a...
Because you go to the Golden Saucer with her.
Golden Saucer. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. It's just, it hurt, dude. It hurt to see her die. You know, and it was just so sudden, you know what I mean? They're just kind of there. And then all of a sudden you just see a sword coming through, dude. And it was gut-wrenching, dude. It was just like, oh my god, dude, she shouldn't have died.
I think
she was the best person in the whole world, dude. Yeah. And they just killed her.
I think one of the things that also made that so powerful is, I mean, like, play RPGs, you play any games, the characters die all the time in games. But usually when a character dies in the game, they're like holding off an army while you escape, or like, you know, setting making sure the thing blows up when it's supposed to, like some big hero moment. But in Final Fantasy VII, Aeris, she's just sitting there like praying, and then he just comes down and just kills her. She gets no hero moment, she's just praying.
It was hard to watch, man.
Yeah.
They
kept her eyes open for the whole scene.
Because she was surprised too, dude. I mean, she was just as surprised as I was.
She didn't have a surprised look. She just kind of
no, I know, but you know, it's that whole thing where like, I just got stabbed. You know what I mean? Like,
and then the cloud like walks her into the water.
Yeah, dude. And drops her down. Oh my god.
Yeah. And
so sad.
It was good. It was a really, really well done scene.
I was stuck between that and I can't remember his name, but I think it was Cian from Final Fantasy VI.
Okay.
When he comes back, only to find out that his whole like kingdom is dead from Kefka poisoning the people through the water.
Okay.
This guy comes back, you know, and everybody's dead. Everybody he knows is dead. This guy was a maniac. And he just decided to kill all these people. And I think that was a very powerful moment also in that game. Because he had an emotional time as well. You know, just finding this whole thing out. And I mean, that was, I was more of a child. back when that game came out. I didn't get Final Fantasy VII right off the bat either, so I waited a couple of years or something like that before I got to play Final Fantasy VII. So I was a little older, you know what I mean? And I think Final Fantasy VII had more an effect on me because when I was playing Final Fantasy VI, it was more of I'm kind of a kid, so, you know, not too big of a deal, but, you know, just kind of in retrospect, it was a really an emotional moment for the character and, and the player as well, you know, but,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I think my runner-up would be, and granted, people at home, I'm trying, for future not to pick Lunar Silver Star Story for these questions, because, as we all know...
But Lunar has everything, Dan.
It does have everything. So, that aside, my other runner-up, I think, would have been,
Lunar.
No, I'm not picking Lunar. I'm not picking Lunar. Probably would have been Grandia, the very first Grandia. There's a moment, there's this giant wall in the game, and you spend so much time just exploring this world, and then you finally start climbing the wall, and when you get to the top, there's like this, you know, the beautiful, like, cutscene. Well, not even like a cutscene, it's kind of like a, I'm not even sure if there might be a small little cutscene, like it'd be animated, I think, but I think it's just in-game. You get to the top of the wall, and your characters get up to the top before you can actually see what's at the top of the wall. As the camera slowly starts to pan up, you start getting that triumphant music, and you see this large expanse, like, five times bigger than the world you've been exploring already, like, before you. And it's that sense of just excitement that the characters have just translates to you. And, you know, you're just giddy, you're like, yes! What's on the other side of the wall?
Yeah, the anticipation. Yeah. There's so many games that have that effect on me. Another one I would say would be The Secret of Mana. Mm. Once you beat the flamey guy, what the hell's his name? The last dragon. You know, one of the character, the sprite, he's basically like not from the world, and so he kind of disappears into his own world. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of sad to see him just leave. You know what I mean? Just kind of go away. Like you see like a little silhouette of him, but he's not from there, kind of deal. And I thought it was a little sad. You know what I mean? I wanted him to be part of the whole ending of it. You know, but
yeah.
Chrono Trigger as well, you know, but that one's not so much because after Chrono dies, you go to the end of time and it tells you, yeah, Chrono can be revived. So it's very fast, you know, when it tells you, hey, Chrono's dead, but he's not really dead. So it didn't have that strong of an effect to me, you know, for me.
Yeah. I mean, there are games too, where I think like, they have some emotional effects and stuff, but I think like it's muddled. Because of the game, like Valkyrie Profile, like the first one, I played it on the PSP version, and like the game's like really depressing and sad, but the whole game is kind of depressing and sad, so it's not like it had as strong as a reaction to me, because it wasn't like a thing that took me by surprise or something like that. I was just like, no, it's just a sad game, and like a bunch of horrible things happen, but that's just what the game is, and that's the story they're telling. So it wasn't as strong of an impact that it kind of sits in my mind as well as some of these other ones.
Yeah.
That's good.
Never played that one either.
It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good. Alright, thanks for listening, guys. Again, hit us up at UncorkGamers on Twitter, or send us emails, UncorkGamers@gmail.com. Send us things you want us to talk about. Hopefully we can do a better job than we did with the sports games, but I think we did handle that pretty decently well at the end there.
As well as we could.
As well as we could. I mean, it's really... What it comes down to is just what modes does it have, mostly.
Yeah.
At least that's the experience that I've noticed from people that play these sports games around me. That seems to be what catches them.
You can catch me at Uncorked Gamers... at Black Hole Flare on Twitch.tv. I've been getting back into it. I've been streaming.
Yeah, he's been getting pretty much through the Uncharted. He's been getting.
I got through the second Uncharted, and I'm on the third one.
You got hooked.
I'm not gonna play tonight, but I will be playing tomorrow night.
So we will be playing Wednesday night.
Yeah. So when this podcast comes out. So Yeah, tonight. Tonight for you guys.
Depending on when you listen to it. But you got hooked on Uncharted 3.
Uncharted is fun. It's a fun game.
The third one?
All of them. I liked all of them.
I'm saying, because I've seen you play some of 1 and 2 whenever I can catch it. But, like, 3, you started 3 up, and you were on there till like, 2 or 3 in the morning. You play that one.
I think
one.
It was later than that.
You play this one. You got, like, hooked into it.
There was the part where they drug him, and he's running through the bazaar with a... like, it's all trippy, that everything's all trippy.
Yeah.
That part was so cool, dude. And then you just wake up and you've already told these guys, like, everything you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, dude. And cause you hear the voices, like, you know, come over here, come to me, this and that. And then, like, you wake up and it's like, how did you know that? You told us. You know, it was a really cool moment. I don't know.
You got to the thing where they go into, like, the mansion and they have to escape it at the end. Have you done that?
The mansion.
Like the dilapidated, like, building.
The one they set on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got through that.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
The spiders?
Oh, those things are huge, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd be scared to be going in that place with damn spiders. There's a part where when you escape it, that the spiders don't care about the flame anymore.
Yeah.
You kind of have to sweep the floor with it. Because they're like, they don't care about... Oh, the light. They don't care about the light.
They don't care about the light anymore. Which is what's keeping them in bed. That part... freaked me out. I was like, I was playing there, and you know, most Uncharted games have that supernatural twist or whatever. I got the spider thing, I was like, oh, don't tell me it's spiders. And there's like these giant spiders, I'm like, I'm gonna have to play the rest of this game with giant spiders coming at me and like fighting off giant spiders. I don't know if I can do this.
By the way, Dan hates spiders.
I do have a, I wouldn't say it's a
phobia. It's not a phobia. It's not a phobia.
But it's definitely it's close to a phobia.
It's a hatred. It's more of a hatred than a phobia.
Like, no, don't freak me out. Don't freak me out.
Really?
Like, if I were to look down my arm and there's a spider on my arm, I will freak the shit out. But if it's on this desk, I'm like, alright, cool, it's there. As long as it's not a jumpy spider, because it can make that jump. But otherwise, I'm like, okay, I can handle it being that far away from me. But the closer they are to me increases my level of freaked out about them.
So there is a phobia. I've never seen that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, it's not full-blown phobia. Like, you know, people with phobia, see a spider, they have to, like, leave the room, they freak out screaming kind of stuff, right? It's not that level of phobia. But there's definitely a fear there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can go up, I can squash a spider, you know? I can catch a spider in a jar, take it outside.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, not with my skin touching them at all.
No. But I wouldn't think that you would do that because of the phobia.
No, like, as long as I'm not touching it, I'm okay. Like at a zoo, you know, they have them behind the 10-inch, like, plexiglass. And I'm like, you know, check the corners to make sure it's all sealed off. I can go in there. Right? I can go in there. I can look at the spider and be like, oh, man, that's weird. That's creepy. Like, ugh, it makes my skin crawl. But I can look at it. It's just when it becomes real.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.